Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Q at Speedway Anywhere. blogtalkradio.com/speedwayanywhere. Having a little trouble with the computer right now. I will get that fixed in 2 seconds. There we go. So yeah, welcome back to Speedway Anywhere, your podcast magazine for all things motorsports and maybe even some multi-sports. blogtalkradio.com/speedwayanywhere. Feel free to join the conversation at any point. Call 917-889-2053 or email us speedwayanywhere@outlook.com. The inbox is checked throughout the show. We're live every Monday and Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Time. We got some good news and we got some better news. We'll be right back after a little bit of bumper music. I need to get one more little problem worked out here. Right, I'm back. Just trying to work out some details with another show that I'll be on following mine. I will be over on Fan for Racing on blogtalkradio.com. Good friends, good people, professional show. Really enjoy working with them. So I'll be heading over there after my show wraps up. And what time exactly that I'll be on is kind of uncertain at this point. So, hey, got some good news on Robert Wickens. You might remember Robert Wickens was involved in a nasty wreck at Pocono Sunday, August 19th, after making contact with Ryan Hunter Ray in the IRL series. Yesterday, he was upgraded a little bit. They no longer have him on assisted breathing. What do they call that? Ventilator? Something like that. Basically, the breathing tube. So that's been pulled. And he was able to speak right away. He spoke to his family. He's speaking with doctors. He's speaking with a couple of drivers as well. So this is good news. I mean, when you look at the wreck that he was in, that has been, well, let's just say I've seen some like it, and they became fatalities. So, but yeah, yesterday he has a long way to go. He's got the lung injury, of course, spinal injury. Those are the two biggest ones. And then, of course, a broken arm and two breaks in both legs. But this is great news. So it's obviously he's not going to be back this year. And their season is short to begin with, by the way. It won't be, but September 16th, I believe, is the final race. More on that in a little while. And we're going to go ahead and drop the green flag on the rest of the different racing series and go hammer down. The Cup Boys, they had the weekend off and return next Sunday at Darlington for their second-to-last race, not second-to-last of the year, but second-to-last race before they begin their final 10-race chase showdown. Only the Brickyard 400 beyond that remains after after the chase begins at Vegas. And I don't have the date, doggone it. I believe the chase itself is going to begin on the 16th as well at Las Vegas Speedway. So Brickyard 400 will be the following Sunday from the day before Labor Day. So that would put it on the 9th. Yeah. Hey, I did some good math there. Aren't you proud of me? September 2nd, add 7 days. September 9th, add 7 days. September 16th. I didn't even have that in my notes. I'm a good boy. by the way, the show is still under consideration for a name change. I haven't decided for sure yet. But I believe, within the next month, we will be switching it from Speedway Anywhere to Armchair Crew Chief. More inclusive, more multi-sports, more, you know, that kind of thing. I just think that's a more versatile change as far as all that goes. So. I know. Get to the point, right, Quentin? Right. As far as points go for the championship chase in the Cup Series, not much has changed, except for Kurt Busch, of course, took on a win to actually lock himself in to the Cup final 10 races, even though he had the highest point lead of the non-winners going into Bristol. But now he's got the win. He's still fourth in points, but he is a lock. So he already had that based on points. Kyle Busch leads the points, the other Busch. Kevin Harvick in second. Martin Truex Jr. third. Kurt Busch fourth, like just mentioned. Clint Bowyer in fifth. Joey Logano in sixth. Chase Elliott in seventh. I'm doing math here. Again, Eric Jones in eighth, and Austin Dillon, who won at Daytona long ago in the first race of the year, are your top five, or excuse me, top nine locked in with wins. See, then I go and screw up a number. So much for my math skills. Ryan Blaney has made a surge in points lately. He doesn't have any wins, and neither do, of course, the next himself and the next six. As far as points to lock themselves into the chase, unless we have a new winner at Darlington or Indy, by the way. Ryan Blaney, So he's passed Keselowski, and then Kyle Larson and Denny Hamlin right behind in lucky number 13th with Eric Almirola slipping. I'm screwing up my words, slipping myself. But yeah, Eric Almirola is slipping in points a bit. He had been running inside the top 10 in points himself. Multi-time, seven-time, Mr. Jimmy Johnson, he's in the 15th slot. He's 14th in points, but Austin Dillon passed him by virtue of wins. So Jimmy Johnson is in the 15th slot, could be on the cusp. I think if Johnson is going to lock in, the next race at Darlington is going to be the best bet for a win based on it being a driver experience track. It's aerodynamically dependent, but it isn't as dependent on the car overall as it is, based on the drivers that have been there a lot. Alex Bowman, 16th in points. He's probably the guy at risk. He's probably going to be the guy at risk as far as being knocked out based on points. And so we'll see. The next two races will be the telltale. And looks like somebody joined me from a 904 area code. How are we doing? I'm not sure what happened there. We'll see if they pop back in. Nope. So as far as the Cup Series goes, we'll be keeping an eye on that very intently over the next few weeks. The chase is about to begin for them at Vegas following the Brickyard 400, and I'm excited. I really am. I'm going to go ahead and figure out what happened to this call just now, and I'll be right back. So, hey, back to some more chase talk. Speaking of whom or whose, the Truck Series. Truck Series got their chase going at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park this weekend. The going's getting good with the 8 chase eligible drivers locked in. Justin Haley, surprisingly, surprised me big time when he won at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park. I say this because it was only his win at Gateway that he really performed like a championship contender team. Best of wishes as he will advance to the third and fourth events for the second leg of the chase with that win that he produced on a road course. So quite a bit of difference there when you consider that Gateway being pretty much a 1 mile oval. It's not quite oval, but it's got a little difference between turns 1 and 2 and then turns 3 and 4 as far as shape and length. So it's definitely driven differently. Maybe that's why you want on a road course. He likes those tracks that change it up and make it a little less predictable. Second place went to John Hunter Nemechek, and he's eliminated from the championship, but nonetheless, a great effort. We'll see him next year, and who knows what he'll produce. And he comes, obviously, from great bloodlines as far as racing goes. Brett Moffitt, who's been rather dominant this year in the truck series, he took third, and he's locked into the playoff races, obviously. Timothy Peters was fourth. He's not locked in, or he's not a part of the chase. Matt Crafton, who was the final slot in eighth place in points, by the way, no wins this year, but eighth place in points going into the chase. He rounded out the top five, obviously, in fifth. Multiple winner locked his way in is Johnny Sauter. He came in sixth. Due to playoff points that he earned, Sauter is the leader over Brett Moffitt, even though Moffitt finished three places ahead of him in third. So that's where this scenario could change a lot of how we follow the points. And I know it's very confusing, and it's not always, you know, the most simple thing about the season, trying to figure out how this all shakes out. But Johnny Sauter, that could fall apart as far as his playoff points rather quickly if he follows, say, Brett Moffitt or another driver by too many points that finishes ahead of him. So we'll be
even
talking
Kanye
more.
Kanye makes more sense than you.
Oh, yeah, when it comes to the point system, I'm sure he does. So as far as the remaining four drivers, with Chase Burris, Stuart Friesen finished right behind Sauter in seventh. Noah Gregson, he's been my prospect this year, but he finished ninth. And then Ben Rhodes was back in 14th, and then Grant Enfinger came in 17th. Now, I'm not saying it's panic time, but as far as these slots to advance with the Truck Series, well, and the Xfinity Series too is the way it's going to be, but with two drivers being eliminated after the next Truck Series race, Haley's the only one that's safe. He really is. And we're talking about Ben Rhodes and Grant Enfinger. They got some ground to make up. They really do. And if you look at even Noah Gregson, he's in a dangerous spot going into the next race. So he's got to finish way better than ninth or win to be safe to go into the third and fourth races of the chase. So, yeah, Haley's got a lock. Rhodes and Enfinger got some work to do. The Truck Series will be off till Friday, September 14th. Yeah, it's going to be a little while before that whole scenario plays out. By the way, September 14th, that's my birthday. Sweet. Be a good race to watch. Every two races for those guys is just going to be intense, and it's going to be that way for the Xfinity Series with only seven races to decide, you know, each of their chases. Didn't mean to rhyme. So let's go on to Xfinity. Xfinity ran a road course as well over the weekend. They're at Road America, Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin, where Justin Allgaier got his fourth win. So nobody got a new win to lock them in. It was only the guys with the wins that are sitting up top. Pole sitter Matt Tiff took second. He's came on a little stronger recently. He might be okay going into the championship showdown. Third went to Daniel Henrik, who looked like a threat throughout the day. He looked pretty good. I was watching. It always gets confusing too because of Cendric and Henrik. And then, of course, you have the team owner, Hendrick. That always screws with me. But Mr. Consistent throughout the season with no wins, but still strong prospect for championship berth, Cole Custer, took fourth. And the top five was finalized by longtime points leader, Elliot Sadler. Obviously, Sadler's been shifted back quite a bit. So, yeah, no new winners lock in, but I would have to say that the three guys with no wins, Henrik, Sadler, and Custer, are in great shape to point their way in. Tyler Reddick is the only driver behind them, by the way, who has a victory. So I did some digging, too, on Ryan Preece and Spencer Gallagher just to make sure that I got the details right. Those guys... Spencer Gallagher failed a controlled substance, a banned substance, and therefore, even though he's got a win, won't be chase eligible. And then Ryan Preece, he's got way too few starts. Even though he's sitting back in like 25th in points, and I know that that's kind of like the cutoff point, I keep on hearing different news on that. I hear that you got to be in the top 30 in points, and you got to be running a certain amount of races just to be considered. Let's go back to when Kyle Busch got his championship, and even though he hadn't ran a lot of the season, he was still waived by NASCAR. Ryan Preece is not in a situation to do that. He's got less than 10 starts, I believe. So, as far as the others to round out that top 12, ask me next week or maybe after Indy, going into the final chase race deciding race at Las Vegas. Yeah, before the Xfinity Series begins their chase. excuse me. I slept in a little late today. Before they begin their chase at Richmond. So it's been a confusing year as far as that goes because, of course, Truck Series began their chase last weekend at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park. Cup will begin their chase at Las Vegas. And then Xfinity, not until the weekend after. So follow along. It's all going to make sense heading toward Homestead. But for now, they're all on three very different schedules as far as their championship showdowns, or as we call it, the chase. But hey, Bill Elliott made a return of turns, pun intended, at Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin. He said it feels like he hit everything but the lottery. I love that. That's a very clever little way of putting it. He finished out the day in 20th, but it was exciting watching him knocking on the bumper of the guys running up in, you know, 5th, 6th. He never got any higher than 7th, I believe. I know it was close, but as far as officially coming across the start-finish line, he never ran any higher than 7th. But he was as high as 5th or 6th on the other stretches of the road course. Boy, it's all been about the road courses lately, hasn't it? We got One more to go, I think. We're going to run the Roval. More on that in final laps. But we'll be running the Roval at Charlotte. So they'll be checking that out. It's either going to be a huge success or it's just going to be a disaster. I was looking at it when they were testing on the track, and the Roval, it looked a little narrow to me. It really did. I know that they've had to make widen out some turns, maybe put a little instead of being so paperclip, they had to add the how do I explain it? They had to round it out more instead of it being more paperclip shaped. You'll see it. It will be there at Charlotte in October. Even though at first I thought the idea was really corny, I'm kind of excited. So, Xfinity has three races left before the chase starts at Richmond. They return to Darlington this Saturday. They'll go to Indianapolis for their version of their Brickyard race, and then to Las Vegas the same weekend that the Cup Series starts a chase, but it won't be a chase race yet for the Xfinity Series. So that's what we get to look forward to. I like the fact that there are three very individual races before their chase begins. They're going to Darlington, which is obviously going to be a driver experience track, like I mentioned earlier in the Cup Series, as far as Jimmy Johnson having his best shot to finally get a win. And then when they hit Andy's definitely horsepower, rectangular shape, and then they'll return to another of the, I'm not going to call them cookie cutter tracks because that makes them sound watered down and whatever. But Las Vegas being one of the more quaddable type tracks. So a lot of drivers still have a chance to lock themselves in with wins and great finishes. I still think this season is going to be long to Christopher Bell. I really do. Christopher Bell has the points lead. And then, you know, three guys with no wins and Tyler Reddick with a win. And the picture could definitely be painted a lot different by the time the end of the day at Vegas starts. So enough on that. I'm going to go bumper music and give myself a quick little Gatorade Zero break. Yeah, I go for the sugar-free stuff. Not by choice, but
yeah.
Okay, that was stupid. I just hit the wrong soundbite button, but hey, that happens. Let's go to the real bumper music. All right, put me back in the water. It's where I'm most comfortable. Figuratively, that is. Most comfortable when I'm talking auto racing. Where were we at? We just finished up the three major NASCAR leagues. The Truck Series, obviously, was yesterday. Xfinity ran on Saturday. Cup had the weekend off. And we have the, like mentioned, Justin Haley. Justin Haley found his way in on the Truck Series as far as his win on the road course at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park. Hey, Kurt's on the line. Hey, I got a call from the 904 area code, and I'm trying to figure out
what
this says. I'm like, where's this? I mean, did somebody accidentally call into the show? I'm going
through
some...
No, it would have been cool. I did look it up real quick, and it's around Jacksonville, the Jacksonville metropolitan area, Florida.
Florida? Oh.
And now you never know, though. It could be one of those calls. But I know it would have been kind of cool to hear somebody from Florida, you know.
So you're saying that I'm getting spam phone calls on my radio show?
That's what I'm thinking. You know, they hung up real quick, or maybe it was by accident. Who knows? I know.
Maybe I have a stalker.
Maybe. Ooh. Ooh. I hope it's
somebody,
not John Force.
Somebody's stalking the crew chief. That's awesome.
Oh,
I love that.
Oh,
I'm kind of
John Force or Buckshot Jones.
Oh, God. Can you just imagine if I said something about a driver and they called in to yell at me?
Oh, that'd be kind of cool, though, in a way.
Yeah, I'd take that a badge of honor. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be cool. So, hey, I'm back on Fan for Racing tonight. I will be back on Fan for Racing tonight. Host Sharon and the gang will be inviting the armchair crew chief to join them for their final segments. It's not like final laps. It's more of a hot topic segment, and it's actually a lot of fun. I did it once before, and we go through a little round table and have some, I'm not going to say heated opinions, but very blunt and bold opinions going on. So, yeah, that's www.blogtalkradio.com/fan4racing. So, no capitals involved, just F-A-N. Number four, there's no such thing as a capital number four, by the way, and the word racing. If you spell it racin without the G, or if you spell it raisin, although that would be really cool. We all like our raisin.
I always will love the California raisins.
For raisins?
Yeah. Yeah, that would be kind of funny. I'm getting off racing here, but one thing, that'd be kind of cool to start a podcast just for the California raisins. That would be kind of cool. I mean, you know, somebody's thought of it, but yeah. Before I forget, you know, though, the deal about Darlington, I always forget about it, but I know I can't pick a driver yet, but I will say right now, in case I forget, because it'll be recorded, my pick will be who's ever closest to Long Branch, New Jersey, and there's a music connection there.
Yeah, what's the
album
of that?
Well, I'm going there. We'll just say I never call him by his name.
Long Branch,
New Jersey. It is the hometown of a music manager, by the way, that refers to his nickname, whichever qualifying driver and starting driver is close, whose hometown is closest to Long Branch, New Jersey, that's who I'm going with. And, of course, I'm talking about Mr. Bruce Springsteen, the boss, and he has a song on board in the USA, Darlington County. And nobody ever brings it up during Darlington.
You know, you always had those two tapes, Bruce Springsteen and Huey Lewis. Now,
yep.
Okay, we're going off script here, people, so bear with us. But
yes and no.
There was a commercial. It's all over. And you hear that? Yeah, do one, whatever the song is. It always reminds me of that old Huey Lewis song, "Bad Is Bad."
Oh
yeah. Yeah, that's why I just talk on the radio and I don't sing because, not feeling the flavor of music right now in my old singing voice that I used to have and hope to one day get back. Hey, I want to plow through some notes here. IndyCar, like mentioned in the beginning of the show, Robert Wickens' news is headed to the right direction. He's on the mend. I'm curious, however, what the plan for his car is. That I don't believe the car was in the field at all yesterday. Or was that Saturday? At Gateway. I think it was yesterday. So, but yeah, what the plan for the team is, I'm sure they're not exactly scrambling to put something together. I look at it as it's kind of like the Dale Earnhardt scenario. Richard Childress made the decision that these crew members and, you know, everyone from the engine department to the guys on pit road, they have mouths to feed at home. They couldn't just, you know, take the car and park it for the rest of the season. So, but hey, it's not my decision. I know that as far as in the shop, he is a teammate to James Hinchcliffe. And I just hope that doesn't put other guys out of the job if they don't get the car back on the track. That was Richard Childress. That was his point when he put Kevin Harvick out there in the number 29, which turned out to be an extremely successful effort. But hey, now to results and standings. IRL returned to Gateway for an evening race. Hey, I just answered my question. Evening race Saturday. Will Power found his way back to victory lane. This moved Power to third in points. So the race went to Will Power. Alexander Rossi, who is chasing after first in points, finished second. And that first place guy in points is Scott Dixon, finished third. So things could shake up. They don't have many races to go, but we'll see.
I got a thing here real quick. You know, if you're a cup driver, if you're anything in NASCAR, it's obviously stock cars, and the way you start, you're more or less of an amateur, so you're used to racing nights. I'm wondering, in an Indy car, whether it be the kart cars, I'm even going to bring up like an F1 car. I don't believe they've ever raced at night, but if it's the adjustment, unless they have some experience racing at night, just because, you know, their history, where, you know, you're a stock car driver, you're obviously been around at night. I've always thought about that.
You realize you just made a Days of Thunder reference?
No, I don't. What did I make?
guys get their start in stock cars before they go to Indy? Come on. That's not true.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did.
Remember when the team owner says something to the effect of, what's your goals or what's your plans and all that, and I want to get to Indy. And, you know, some might be thinking that Tom Cruise wanted to go and run the Brickyard 400, but wrong answer. There was no Brickyard 400 back then when that movie came out. So it just came right to mind. All right, before I get totally out of order. So the race went to Willpower. Alexander Rossi, who was chasing after first, finished second. And that first place guy in points, Scott Dixon, finished third. Last year's champ, Joseph Newgarden, got bumped back to fourth by Willpower. Still following me? I hope so.
Yes.
Because it just gets more and more and more confusing. Ryan Hunter-Reay, fifth in points still. Ray finished way back in 20th at Gateway. So as far as him getting back toward contention for the championship, I'm going to say no. And last year champion Joseph Newgarden, he didn't exactly do all that great. So I don't think you got to pull that phone away from your mouth a little bit. Joseph Newgarden finishing seventh too, obviously a little less likely as well. So as far as the point scenario, I'm going to say it's going to come down to the point leader, Scott Dixon. Second place, Alexander Rossi. And now, of course, Will Power moving a little more into contention. And a partridge and a pear tree. The IRL will be off for a little bit. IRL will be back at Portland, Oregon for a street course, I believe. I'd have to look into that. But that will be their second to last race. And they'll end the season September 16th at Sonoma and crown their champ. And Kurt, as I'm sure you remember, the last race at Sonoma and then welcome in Laguna Seca next year.
Yes, and I didn't want to mention that because, you know, one of them things, though, I got to mention, and I always forget to mention about Laguna. It would be really, really – I wonder, though. I'm bringing up another car here, but a Can-Am car with all that massive downforce just literally going through that twister, and if you even know what you're doing in a Can-Am car, if you're even going down it, I thought about that for a while now. I love,
you know,
to see
what amazes
a camera
me,
view.
What amazes me is when you watch that, basically a caterpillar of the crotch rocket bikes going down through there. The motorcycle racing. The corkscrew is just incredible looking. I mean, it almost makes you dizzy because you know, watching it from behind the corkscrew is one thing, but when you see them camera angle coming at you,
no,
that's pretty freaking cool. So, yeah, that's where we sit right now. I'd like to see the stock cars do it. You know, and of course, the famous Zanardi. If Zanardi could get back into a champ car. God, did I just say champ car? I did, didn't I?
Yeah,
that's
same.
What they were. Remember, the kart series was actually called champ cars? Champ cars and Indy cars. Champ Cars and Indy Cars was the monikers that they were given back then. But yet, if somehow or another, even if it's Indy Lights or something, Zanardi could be fitted to take some laps there and maybe run a, you know, that 1 hour deal that the Indy Lights run. I don't think he'll be jumping out the corkscrew like he did in the past. But yeah, it'd be cool to see Zanardi one more time on Laguna Seca.
Yeah, Mr. Zanardi too. That competitive spirit, though, he even won medals in the Paralympics. I mean,
he's been a steady competitor in the Paralympics ever since.
It's cool. When I heard about that, it's kind of like, that's cool. I mean,
or what if they're to just take a bunch of former champions, guys that have road course experience, and you know, or just one day at Laguna Seca.
Jeff Gordon ain't bad for an old guy.
And Jeff Gordon would be a great choice to run on Laguna Seca in a stock car, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
All right. I'm going to plow through NHRA. Let's see. I'm not doing too bad for time. Not bad at all. Just over 45 minutes into the show. I'm going to be joining, like I said, blogtalkradio.com/fan4racing. Not F-O-R, not F-O-U-R, but the number 4, racing, after I leave my show tonight. So, technically, the NHRA had a weekend off before their upcoming series. Speaking of Andy, by the way, technically had a weekend off before August 29th through Labor Day, September 3rd. That's a long stretch. Not every series going to run every day, but this is kind of the Daytona 500 of NHRA, and it is the Super Bowl of drag racing. So they had the weekend off, but they needed it. So 6 days on the strip at Indy is going to be grueling. Sure, some divisions won't be there every day of the stretch, but it's still a huge stretch of events. So I'm sure those NHRA boys and girls, especially girls, they don't make any Labor Day weekend plans for that final day of summer. So NHRA will head to Indy Wednesday, August 29th through Monday, September 3rd, Labor Day, for their final shot at the showdown, by the way. This will be the final race to decide the 10 slots in each division. Courtney DeForest, she's leading Funny Car. She ain't going nowhere. She's already locked in. Papa John, he's in the showdown, kind of. He's actually in 8th. Place, I found out. They got it wrong on TV last time. I said that he was in 7th with a lock. There are still 3 spots for the top 10 for drivers making a bid at the Funny Car Finals, final showdown of 6 races. So hopefully Papa John can get in there too without needing an extra burger from the Force Fed truck. Indy will be the deciding point for, you know, all 4 of the major divisions. Another one being the top field division. Steve Torrence has held the top field lead almost all year. His dad decided to jump in and steal a victory along the way, of course. You know, that was fun. When you can just come out of semi-retirement, take a win from your kid. That's awesome.
Jesse knows something about doing that. Listening to him. Yeah.
Well, Jesse can actually point his bumper at his kid. But,
yeah, exactly.
Whereas Billy Torrance, Steve Torrance's dad, he has to actually, beat him down the stretch. Brittany Force, speaking of the Forces, had a sidelining wreck early in the year, but she is creeping up the points to get in the championship. She's currently eighth, just like Papa John over in the... I say that too much now, haven't I? I wore out the little pun. She's eighth. If she stays there or gets a little better or only falls to 10th, she will be putting that injury in a rearview mirror. Not that they run rearview mirrors in the top field cars, but you know what I'm saying there. Once they reset the cars to 10, I know there's some bonus points involved, just like in the NASCAR series. How do you even say that? Series. How many extra S's do you add? But yeah, she's currently in eighth. As long as she doesn't slip more than two spots, it'll press the reset button, and all that time off that she had to take for injury just be a distant memory. We got to remember that there's another, as you call it, WOP, woman of horsepower.
Whoppers.
God, that is such a politically incorrect word.
It is, but of course, I was thinking about a company we're all familiar. Yeah, it is, but women of horsepower. You could probably come up with a better. It just came to my head. I didn't think about the politically correct topic, but I thought about what would be a cool brand name for a sponsorship for them, like the Coca-Cola Racing Family. When you mentioned women of horsepower, I came up with Whoppers.
Women of horsepower is WOHP. Whereas the Whoppers is WHOP, I hop the Whoppers. Hey, that's my night at the bar, man. Yeah. I'm going
hop
some Whoppers.
It does have a ring to it. In some ways.
As soon as I started to say that, I knew it was going to be a don't, Stick to the script, Quentin. Stick to the script. Beyond Torrance, Steve, that is. He's followed by Tony Schumacher, currently locked in, second going into their showdown. Clay Milliken in third. And here comes the other WOP, Leah Pritchett, beautiful girl. And she could be my bodyguard anytime. That girl's got some points on her arms. So she's fourth in points. She was as high as third. Not quite sure what happened over the last few weeks. Maybe it was the brackets giving her bonus points. Or, excuse me, giving Clay Milliken bonus points. Pushing Leah back to fourth. Doug Kalita, he's seated at fifth. And Antron Brown, he's had a lot of wins lately. He's came on strong lately. And he is now a lock at sixth. We'll see what happens after Andy. Antron Brown, as you know, I get asked quite a bit that, is there any African-American drivers in NHRA? And I'm like, yeah. Have you heard of Antron Brown? He doesn't exactly suck. He's got a ton of wins in the finals. So, Pro Sock is kind of up in the air. Greg Anderson is strong in first. Tanner Gray in second. Eric Anderson third. This is the division I've probably paid the most attention to. As far as the point structure, of course, you know, the beautiful girls at the fours, you got to pay attention to that. Leah Pritchett, pretty nice on the eyes, too. Oh, it's a racing show. This ain't the Playboy Channel. That wasn't on the script, by the way. But, yeah, this is the division, the Pro Stock division. I got my eyes on them. Greg Anderson, Tanner Gray, Erica Anders, and others are locked in. There's a ton of them locked in. Bo Butner is actually the only one on the cusp. He's got the final slot that's up for grabs. The other nine are all finalized. Some of you might remember Bob McGahey. Tried to file a protest on the engines of teammates Erica Anders and, of course, the Coughlin team, Jags, the Jags team, you know. So,
yeah,
Jags Jr.
Yeah, it does sound familiar.
Yeah, so, but, yeah, Jags and Erica are definitely locked into already. So there's only one more slot before they move on to the final six events and do the showdowns. Pro Cycle doesn't run every event alongside the NHRA. Sometimes it's the Harley horsepower, the Harley division, the Harley stocks. They kind of trade off. I don't believe the Harley division is sanctioned by the NHRA, so I have trouble finding them from time to time. But yeah, right now is Jerry Savoie, Eddie Krawick, Andrew Smith, and Andrew Smith, and of course, I always forget what Angel Ceilings' married name is, but she hasn't ran a full season, so she's not really up there contending for a championship. Like I said, the big 6-day Indy streak starts Wednesday, August 29th through Labor Day, September 3rd. Exciting time of year for every type of racing, if you ask me. It's everyone's set up there. I don't know what came first, the chicken or the egg, as far as the, you know, the NASCAR's Cup Series set up their chase for the championship, and now they have it for the Xfinity as well as the Truck Series, and now NHRA doing their showdown. Indy doesn't have one, but it does make it interesting because it's kind of a press of the reset button when you know, it comes to this time of year and somebody's first quarter of the year might have sucked and set them back, somebody's second half of the year might have sucked but then they got good, and some guys might be saving equipment until everything goes green for the final showdown. So I'm kind of divided as far as the way that all works out. I mean, run hard or go home. Don't you think?
Yeah. I have not watched Pro Stock ever, but now it is different car makes going at it against each other, right?
They are purpose-built cars. They're not street stock.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing. But and they're smaller than a funny car, and you actually go through a door on the driver's side.
Okay.
So. So, yeah, exciting time of the year for every type of racing. Sure would have been better if we still had our Fairgrounds Speedway. That one's always a bummer.
Yeah, there is some history there. It just doesn't feel right in there. I mean, I love the layout for when I saw Frankie Valli last year, but it just didn't look right. And yes, people, it did look kind of funny with a stage on a racetrack, but it just, you could tell it could be used for anything. I think it made the grandstand even look cooler, having the stage in the middle of a racetrack.
Here's what always looks really odd to me. And, of course, you know, they used to have the big roller stage that they would send, you know, right up toward the start-finish line, and that's how they did the concert. Now, when you walk out to the seating, and there are bolts. Bolts! Hanging the seats permanently into the ground on a speedway. I was out to the fairgrounds. I can't remember what year. Sugarland opened up for Brooks and Dunn. And Kipps said, how do you guys do this? And he's talking to, you know, what, 20,000 people? Maybe 15,000? I don't know how many it seats, but Kipps Brooks, they put up a video of him doing steeplechase races. And he totally wiped out. Like, flipped. Got thrown from the steeple cart. And the whole crowd laughs. He's like, well, thank you very much. I could have been killed. And if it was a racetrack like this one, I'm sure that it would have killed every driver in the race.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't get into country, but I knew who Brooks and Dunn were. Now, I'm bringing up a name we all know, Mr. Earnhardt. He was in one of their videos. Now, which he looked like the shorter one. Who was it? Was that Ronnie or was that Kex, the shorter one?
Oh, Ronnie's the giant.
Okay. It is Kex.
Not only is Kex shorter, Ronnie is a tower of a guy.
Okay.
He really is.
Okay,
so.
Because I never saw that video, but I'm just flipping around the channels, and for some reason I'm watching, I can't remember if it was the Nashville Network or CMT at the time. All of a sudden, they're talking about on how race car driver Dale Earnhardt is in a video with Brooks and Dunn because of his resemblance, and I believe they said Kex. And I never would have even thought of that, but they go, oh, yeah, they resemble each other. You know?
You know what's really cool about Kex Brooks, and I got to get back to subjects here, but he's got a syndicated show all throughout the U.S., and, you know, wherever the whistle blows and you can hear it is where he does his syndicated show. I hear it usually when we'd be, me and my former wife and daughter would head out to, her family over on the other side of Wisconsin, be it Green Bay, Appleton, Madison, Cambridge. But we'd hear that coming down 94, Kex Brooks broadcasting. And That's not the gist of it. The gist of it is he didn't mention anything about football. He didn't talk about baseball. He didn't care about no FIFA, FIFA, FOFA dumb. He was talking racing. And by the way, Wisconsin has a lot of MRN stations throughout their state. You can always catch a race when it's on or racing news. See, that's just me. I'm that kind of guy. So back to the horsepower. So where's that damn Parker Solo probe? Solo. It's not solo. It's solar.
Well,
430 miles per hour. I told you we should have paid more attention in school. We'd be able to pinpoint exactly where it is right now.
I'm going to guess probably not to Mercury yet.
You think it's past Venus?
I'm going to just say no because I don't see them I don't see it running at a constant 430,000 miles an hour all the time, but that thing's getting, you know, and one thing about that, and it's going to be the Solar Observer. I would love to see the latest pictures from Venus just because of how bizarre the planet is. You know, and they can't land it on there.
Here's what I read. It will not rendezvous with Venus. Venus is going to be in a whole other part of orbit. Mercury is going to be in a whole other part of orbit.
Okay.
I know. That would have rocked. You could have killed three birds with one stone, but
yeah,
that's not the way it's going to go. Before we go, let's see. I need to go into the World of Outlaws. I believe it's the... No, I got Arca and World of Outlaws. Still the same for points in the World of Outlaws with Donnie Schatz in the lead, Brad Tweed second, David Gravel in third. But it was Darren Pittman who added to his points position in fourth by winning Saturday at Sky Speedway in Billings, Montana for his sixth win of the year. Now, I don't think he's going to make a huge splash and suddenly pass Schatz. Ooh, pass Schatz. Pass Schatz.
That works.
Why do I have to get into disgusting humor all the time? It's your fault, Kurt. I'm blaming it on you.
I'm still not taking responsibility.
Is he from Canada? Are any of them from Canada?
I'm sure there's probably at least one.
Well, let's blame Canada.
Well, we could blame Canada or blame Ringo. That's from Yellow Submarine.
God, let's just blame Canada. I was inspired by a bunch of little paper cutout characters that somebody decided to make $1 billion off of on Comedy Central. So, it's still the same in points with Donnie Schatz first, Brad Sweet second, David Gravel third, Darren Pittman fourth, and beyond that, it's a big shuffling of the deck. World of Outlaws runs next at Skagit. Almost sounds like skank. But, yeah, they're swinging out to Alger, Washington, Friday the 31st and Saturday, September 1st. And they'll stay out on the West Coast till September 15th as they do run through Oregon and California. And they'll probably go to Canada. What's that city up there that had the Olympics? Was that Calgary, the one right above Washington?
Oh, yeah, that's Calgary. That was the Winter Olympics.
No. Yeah, let's blame Canada.
Vancouver, too, did.
So, yeah, they're heading back to Ohio after September 15th. And then we can't blame Canada anymore. Damn it. ARCA had their makeup race at Berlin Speedway. And I believe that race was from July. Yeah, it was right around the same time they were here at Elko. So they had that race over the weekend. Supposed to be a weekend off. Sheldon Creed still leads points. Joseph Graf Jr. won at Berlin. Second place in points, Zane Smith took second place in the race. Sheldon Creed, points leader, finished sixth. So, I hate it when I got to scroll like way down to the bottom of my, what do you want to call it? My cue card. Not with a Q, but C-U-E. I'm going to go ahead and do one more set of bumper music before we hit final laps. Because I am getting really coarse in the voice, and I got to be over on product placement coming. blogtalkradio.com/fanforracing. Fan, F-A-N. Number 4, racing, R-A-C-I-N-G, blogtalkradio.com/fanforracing. I will be appearing on that show at 9 p.m. tonight.
I'm thinking about something. I'm bringing it up on the way back. My promo.
You know, and as I was watching Talladega Nights and as I was watching Wayne's World, I was like, product placement.
To them for my promo I'm going to do.
We're live.
Well, they can hear the music. See, people, we're still live. You know what this means? There's a live band right in the studio.
Came to mind as we were Captain Kurt started to speak as we're live on air because I didn't mute his mic, I didn't mute my mic, and so if you hear stray noises along the way, you know, the problem is I can't talk to Kurt in the conference room area. The phone section without being able to monitor at what point in the bumper music I'm at. So I don't want there to be any dead air if the song ends and then we're still back in the conference room being like, oh, crap. But it kind of reminds me of Bob Bucher in Major League when he says, ah, who gives a crap? No one's listening anyway.
I still like that. Judging by the attendance, you haven't.
So anyways, get your burning desire thing that you were going to say. Get it off your chest.
Okay.
Before we go to final laps.
You got to apologize to Fan for Racing because of what we were talking about earlier. I like to do my promo for Fan for Raisins. And you could talk about California Raisins, Sun Made, or any kind of raisin you want. Matter of fact, You can, we'll even bring up prunes, you know, a raisin, no, but some people call it a big dried raisins, which then we'll even bring up prune juice. Anything to do with raisins, you got it on your mind, give us a call.
You know, I got to type this down real quick. Hold a second. Fans for raisins. I had to put that at the bottom of my my cue card, my liner, my Word document, my whatever, just so, better hit save, right? I got to save the raisins. Hey, there we go.
Yep.
We could have fans for raisins. Save the raisins. Raisins, lives matter.
Oh.
Oh, God.
Oh, you know, and... Oh, God, I wanted to collect all of them, though. Oh, and I never, and I only got one.
Well, for everything
Mike
else.
Mike O'Tier had them all. Mike O'Tier had every one of them.
For everything else, there's eBay.
Oh, I've looked on eBay. I've seen them all on eBay. And, you know, it's just, with me, though, it's just kind of like, oh, God, I never... You know, and Mike O'Tier never talked about them, but though they were up on a shelf, and that's what made it even cooler. You'd notice them, and people would look at them, and I wouldn't even touch them, but somebody completed the collection, and Mike and Betty had it right there on a little shelf, and I just thought it was the coolest thing. Somebody collected all the California raisins.
All right, time for me to fly. So we're going to blast into final laps here.
All right.
Because I'm going to need a Dick Trickle break, and I'm not talking about the bathroom. I'm talking about the other type. The fresh air nicotine break.
You know what?
I go, you're killing me.
You need some willpower. There's a racing reference to stop smoking. Think about that.
Can you imagine growing up with that name?
Oh.
It just, ugh, that would have sucked.
Yep. So, yeah. I had to get that in.
All right, five to go. Charlotte has their Robo race coming up. The infield race road course combined with the outer oval. Charlotte also has the All-Star race every May. The All-Star race is run in segments. Don't you think the second of the three segments should be run on the Roval?
Yeah, why not? Spice it up a little.
I mean, they'll have to make their car versatile enough to handle both types of racing. But they do get that automatic caution.
Mm.
In between the segments, so there is that to consider. I like the idea. I really do. And I kind of think they might already have that in mind. So, all right, four to go. NASCAR is talking about tracks to introduce or reintroduce. Which one would you like to see reintroduced or added?
Oh, God. You know, I'm going to just say it might be too expensive for to do, but just see how it goes at the Milwaukee Mile. Just see what happens.
You know, as far as home, that would be a great option for both you and I.
Oh, yeah, and or hell, throw in Laguna. Get another road course in there to spice it up.
There's no way they're going to run two road courses out in California, just like the IndyCar series wasn't going to support Sonoma and Laguna together. I mean, to me, if it was an old track, of course, You know, I'd love to see Rockingham back on the map, but that's not going to happen because it even failed with the truck series. North Wilkesboro is my number one vote.
It crossed my mind too,
And then, of course, a lot of talk about Disney. It's the 1 mile version of the 2.5 mile Pocono.
Yep.
So, God knows, you can't beat the tourism and the, oh, what's the word I'm looking for? Not the graphics, not the domestics, the logistics. There's, you don't have to have local folks living down there. Demographics. That's the word that I was looking for.
Yep.
All right, stack of three for three to go. I'm getting close here. I got 8 minutes to go. Dirty Jobs, Mike Rowe. He was the maid of honor or whatever. No, the Grand Marshal. When me and you were down at Homestead in 2009. But yeah, Dirty Jobs, Mike Rowe Show. Dirty Deeds by AC/DC or Dirt Racing?
Oh, you know, people might get mad at me for saying this on a racing show. I'm going with Dirty Jobs by Mike Rowe just because it's such a simple show idea and it worked. But Dirt Racing, where would you begin? Because you got the cars, you got the motorbikes, you got the trucks, you got... You could even throw in mud bogging there. I mean, I'm just going to make it simple by just going Dirty Jobs, Mike Rowe, but, ooh, I wanted to say dirt tracks, dirt racing, you know.
Caught me Gatorading. I don't know. You know, he's got that voice. And, I'm not a big fan of AC/DC.
Right when you said that, it's kind of like, no, can't go with it.
I love racing. You know, I got to go with, Mike Rowe on Deadliest Catch.
Oh.
His narration is just awesome. I believe so. If I had his pipes, Speedway Anywhere, or Armchair Crew Chief, oh my God, I could retire on 1 week's pay. All right, two to go. Toss up choice of two. What's the lesser of two evils, traffic jams or toe jams?
Oh, toe jam, well. Traffic jams can be so unnecessary. I'm going with the toe jam is the lesser just because toe jams are absolutely necessary. They're part of the human conditioning. Thank you for billions of years of evolution and hell, they help. But traffic jams, they're so unnecessary.
Call toe jams and traffic jams, being that we talk about speed and there's no speed involved in traffic jams. But I will say that the Miami traffic jams, like the ones that we dealt with coming out of the parking lot and coming back and that whole, I mean, that's worth it. I'll take that traffic jam. The traffic jams are a lot worse. The toe jams, you're not going to spread it on toast. But you can get rid of it easily.
Yep.
Yeah. Other than that, yeah, traffic jams really suck.
Yep.
I got to get this going on. We're at 5 minutes. Food Truck Challenge Force Fed. We've decided on the name, right?
Yep, Force Fed.
All right. So what would John Force do if he didn't drive a funny car? We're thinking food truck. What do you think would be on the menu? I got a few ideas.
Well, I definitely got one, something, the New York strip, like you could have something New York drag strip, and you could definitely, it might be steak, but you could definitely do that in a food truck, New York drag strip. You could have a steak thing. So definitely New York drag strip.
So, well, here's mine. I got drag strip sirloin.
Yep.
So, and we could do drag strip sirloin sandwiches. We could do drag strip sirloin platters. We could do drag strip sirloin. No Canadians are allowed to eat it.
Yep.
Courtney and Brittany's honey buns. What about that?
Although I know I came up with Whopper, I could not go with that.
What about breakfast buns?
Ooh. Them two could go with it, but I don't think John would appreciate it.
Technically you cannot patent a name. So if I put John Force Fed on the side of a truck,
mm-hmm.
how the hell does he know that my name wasn't John Force?
Oh, God.
Just like band names. I could go out and play as Metallica if I wanted to. I just can't have the same logo. So, yeah. Courtney and Brittany's honey buns, pure Angus beef on Courtney's buns. I'm getting bad. Castro black oil coffee.
Oh, his sponsor would love that. I don't know if I'd go with a name like that, but I know where you're coming from. Stick with that idea. Maybe a different name, but something to do with coffee, definitely, and oil.
All right, 2 minutes to go here, and I got to get through Victory Lane. Grilled cheese or pizza right off the engine block?
Ooh. I'd probably go with the engine block.
Pizza off the block, that kind of thing. So pizza off the engine block. All right. I got a minute and a half, and then I got to go rogue over to the other internet radio station. So Victory Lane, I already told you about this one. Victory Lane goes out to longtime Senator John McCain. By now, everyone has heard he passed away Saturday. Love or hate his politics, everything he did 110 frickin' percent. Great sense of humor. Always had a quick backhanded joke to inject. Overall, just a very likable guy. Go join Bill France Sr., and Bill France Jr., and keep those drivers in line at the speedway in the sky. Any thoughts, Kurt?
John McCain, loved him as host of Saturday Night Live. And for people that remember Timothy Russert, the host of after he had died, I keep on remembering how great it was. How great that sketch was. And just the look on McCain's face, played himself and the guy playing Timothy Russert. They both got it so damn funny and so simple. And then the spoof of the Lifetime movie that he was in. Great.
All right,
funny.
15 seconds going. I don't mean to cut off the subject of McCain, but we'll be back on Thursday. Might have a few more mentions about him. So go rest high, John McCain.
Yeah.
Enjoy that Speedway in the sky. This has been Speedway Anywhere. Wherever you go, get there fast.